morning. It's 11 minutes past 7 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday morning. Yeah, going to be a rainy little Monday, but we'll get through that, right? 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. And coming up in just a few minutes, I have got some tickets to go see the River Dogs play. They just wrapped up a three-game sweep of the Augusta Green Jackets out of the Joe. And just a few minutes, I'll be giving you a chance to win tickets to go see the River Dogs. So there was a picture online, and a lot of people were making memes out of it and all that. President Donald Trump was seen with several other people there, and they were touching this glowing, it was an orb. It was an orb. There you go. It really looked, it was extremely dramatic, and it looked like something out of a science fiction movie or something like that. But, and a lot of people are speculating, what is this? What is it? What is it? Well, you ready to know what it was? You ready to? It was basically a switch. It was a light switch, pretty much. It was the Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology in Saudi Arabia. And as part of the center's opening ceremony, Trump, Saudi Arabia's King Salman, and Egypt's President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi put their hands on this glowing ball. Ta-da! And it turned on all the computers. I'm sure it really didn't, but it appeared to. It was kind of a symbolic thing. So they touch this thing, and it's glowing, and all the computers go on there at the brand new Global Center for Combating Extremist Ideology in Saudi Arabia. That's what it was. Pure and simple. Well, look, it's, oh boy, I tell you what, I bet the Illuminati crowd are just going nuts about this thing, right? Oh, look, it's a symbol of globalism. Ooh, or it's some kind of a weird thing going on there. I will admit, it did look strange. All right, so that's just, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes those things sound really good. I have an idea. We will have a globe and touch the globe, and the computers will, well, it looked weird. So, but that's all it was. Basically a switch. It turned on the computers. That's it. I would like a globe that turns on my computer. I think that would be pretty cool. Touch it. It comes on. That would be nice. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Coming up, little after 7:30 this morning, new information on this incident that happened with the young lady who dressed up in a dinosaur costume downtown, spooked a couple of horses, caused some damage. The driver of the carriage was thrown from the carriage, and the carriage ran over his leg, and his it's either a bone in his foot or his leg is broken. Either way, he's on crutches, going to be out of work for a while. The carriage hit a car. One of the horses appeared to slip. This kind of took a sitting position, and a lot of people were screaming about this. Well, I've got new information for you this morning. I will be passing along to you coming up at 7:35. That's 7:35 this morning. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Don't forget, coming up, I've got some tickets to go see the River Dogs. Right now, let's go west of the Ashley, and we'll talk to James. James, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Charlie. How about yourself?
Good. What's up?
I just wanted to, a couple quick things. A big one is the moving of the principals by the school board. And I'm not adamant one way or the other, but, you know, it's just kind of seeing them move principals that are making progress in schools after only being there for a year or so. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of par for the course with the school board. You know, they've got a good principal in place. They're making progress. And then it's like, oh, let's move them. It's sort of like with the math systems and stuff like that they change every couple of years. They change academic requirements or the program that they're using to teach whatever subject it is, and it's like they don't leave it in place long enough to really
actually show some
to realize the full gains of that. You know, and part of that, that's one of the big issues that I know the teachers have with the grading system that they're, you know, wanting to implement on the teachers, is it's like you don't leave the requirements that we have to teach to or the systems that we're supposed to use in place long enough to really see
anything. To see if they're effective.
Right. They're changing it every 2 years, and that's a big issue.
Well, I'm sure that is a big issue, James, but... and there's a, well, we'll talk a little bit more about this. I got to hit a real quick break, but we'll have more on this coming up next on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
Charlie's talk line is hot right now. 843-556-1250. More with Charlie James and the TMA Morning Show next.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
All right, I tell you what I got right now. I got family four-pack of tickets to go see the River Dogs play. Now, they just wrapped up a three-game sweep of the Augusta Green Jackets out at the Joe, and you can get out there and check them out. Four tickets to see the Charleston River Dogs play at any 2017 home game out at the Joe. I'm going to take caller number seven right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. You are going to win these tickets to go see the River Dogs play. As I scroll through the old callers right here to get to caller number seven, I tell you what, if you haven't been out there in a while, this is a great opportunity for you to do it, because they put on a whale. It's not just, it's like they say, it's not just baseball. It's everything else out of the Joe. We'll go to the phones right now and say, good morning. Who's this? Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Who's this?
Willie Kirkland.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, sir.
Well, congratulations. You just picked yourself up four tickets to go see the River Dogs play. How about that?
That's great.
Yes, sir. We've got four tickets to any River Dogs home game this season. You can get out there and watch the River Dogs play. I'm going to put you on hold, and John Quincy is going to take your information from you. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. Don't forget, coming up a little after 7:35, I will be giving you some more information about this incident that happened downtown in Charleston, where this young lady dressed up in a dinosaur costume and some horses, carriage horses, were spooked. We'll give you details on that coming up in just a little bit. All right, there's a lot of rancor going on about, and there's going to be a, I'm sure there's going to be a very vocal meeting tonight when the Charleston County School District gets together. And everybody's complaining about, and I don't know of a single, really, I don't know of a single school board in the country that is wildly popular with the people of the, that they serve. I really don't. But my question for these folks, everybody that's out there that's you know, complaining and all of that, and I understand you have the right to do that, that's fine. But did you vote? Because historically, we know that when we have elections for like school board members and things like that, the voter turnout is very, very low. Very low. So, I mean, we got a lot of people on there with Kate Darby, the Reverend Eric Mack. Let's see, who else? Cindy Bone Coates. Trying to find some others that are going to Chris Dobbs. Who else? Who else is going to be? So we got several members of the board that are coming up for election in 2018. The rest are going to be up for election in 2020. Or I'm sorry, in 2020. So is everybody that's out there complaining, did you go to the polls and did you vote? We know that local elections have very low voter turnout. But these are the people that were hired to make these decisions. And they were hired by you. So, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot to this, and we'll get more into this morning, because there's a lot of moving parts, but they will have a meeting tonight. I'm sure that's going to be extremely vocal.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:40, 20 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. All right. 5:30, last Thursday, there at Church Street and Lingard Street, a person, I'm reading this from the Charleston Police Department, a person in a dinosaur costume was walking on the sidewalk on Church Street just ahead of the horse-drawn carriage. When the carriage got to 160 Church Street, the individual in the costume stopped, stepped off the sidewalk, and began making growling noises at the horses. This spooked the horses, and they began backing up. The carriage then struck an unoccupied vehicle, causing minor damage to the bumper. The driver of the carriage then lost his balance, fell off the carriage. A wheel of the carriage rolled over one of his legs, resulting in him being transported to Roper Hospital with minor injuries. None of the passengers on the carriage or the horse were injured. This is from the Charleston Police Department. That's the third and continuing paragraphs. And they say this, the person who wore an orange dinosaur costume turned themselves in, surrendered themselves to police. This was Friday. Now, all right, so we all heard about that, and everybody was in an outrage. And, you know, from the information that we had, rightfully so. Especially with everything that has been going on with the carriage industry and all of the animal rights activists and the people from the Charleston Animal Society, and they're going back and forth with the carriage industry and all of that. We've heard a lot of rhetoric, and it's been pretty heated at times. And the environment that has been surrounded by it has been, like I said, pretty hot and heated. Then they go on to name the girl, the young lady who was in the costume, Nicole Wells. She surrendered to police at 9:30 in the morning at George Street Police Station. She is charged with disorderly conduct and masked or disguised person. She was cited and released. All right. So when I saw the name of this person, my heart sunk. I mean, literally, my heart sunk. Because I have known this woman for the past 2 years. And it shocked me that she was the one that did this. So, of course, I started making phone calls. Everybody that I had a busy weekend. Everybody that I talked to was equally as shocked that this young lady was the person in the costume. Because this is one of the nicest, sweetest, meekest people you will ever meet in your life. There does not seem to be, at least from what I know of her over the past couple of years and all the people that I know that know her, this is not a woman, a young lady with a mean bone in her body. So I reached out to her. And the one question, now there's a lot of people out there that was she's a member of PETA. That was one of the rumors that was floating around. She's a member of PETA, or she's acting with the Charleston Animal Society, or she is acting on behalf of this group, or this was a planned attack on the carriage industry and things like that. All of these rumors were going around. So I contacted her. And the one question that I asked her, and this was last night around 8:30. I said, tell me this. This is from my text to her. Tell me this. Was in this any way an animal rights protest? Her response, no, it was not. And I talked with eyewitnesses this weekend who were there. In fact, I've got proof that they were there because they're in photographs of the incident. And they said that Nicole was not growling at the carriage, that Nicole was not growling at the horses. Now, she may have been, and I fully could see this happening. She's walking down the street wearing the costume because that's the kind of young lady she is, and she thinks she's being cute and funny. And she's walking down the sidewalk growling, and it just could have been a horrible coincidence. But from what I know of her, and Ben, people say, I mean, like I said, the eyewitnesses that were there say that she was not growling at the horse carriage. And that's what the witnesses say. And we're going to find out what happens. Now, am I excusing what happened and her culpability and her responsibility for what happened? No, not at all. She's a grown lady. She needs to suffer the consequences of her actions, no matter if they were intentional or not. She's got a lot of responsibility in this. Let's go to Elise on John's Island. Elise, how are you?
Pretty. I'm doing all right. How are you, sir?
Good. What's up?
I just want to make a quick comment about two things.
Mm-hmm.
The horses. These horses have it pretty damn good. I don't know if they work 3 months on, 3 months off.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And so everybody who's up in a, uproar about them, they take very good care of these.
Absolutely.
Animals.
And I've seen that firsthand. I've been down to the Palmetto Carriage Company. I've seen their facility. I know that they're pampered.
Yeah, and these horses also, this is their job. This is what they like to do.
That's right.
And if they were not doing this, they would be slaughtered. Because a lot of these, like the gentleman said on the news the other day, a lot of these animals come from up north who mm-hmm. are being put to pasture. And it's not a pasture. It's dog food.
Yeah,
and
well.
People don't realize that. They're just Looney Tunes.
Yeah, I mean, these horses are doing what they were bred to do.
Right.
And if they don't do that, then they'll go stir crazy. It's not a good life for them if they're not doing what they are bred to do. Elise, I appreciate you calling in. Mike is out on James Island. Mike, how are you?
Hey, good morning, sir.
Yes, sir.
Just a quick comment on the downtown. It's a real good thing Charleston's not anywhere, shape, form, or fashion after New Orleans, where people wear costumes probably daily.
Yeah, yeah.
And in and around animals.
Yeah, right there, right on Bourbon. Go down to Bourbon Street and see some, you'll see some strange things down there.
So, I got mixed feelings on this. Mm-hmm. I avoid going downtown and try to advise any family or visitors to avoid going down there. I can't stand having to deal with the streets and the parking and much less, it's tough. The horse urine and the smell. It's just not pleasurable to me at all.
All right, Mike. Well, see, that's the thing, though, Mike. My first job was in a stables in Red Rock Stables in Pasadena, California, on Pasadena, Texas, rather. I'm sorry. That smell brings back great memories to me. Let's go to Pat, IOP. Pat, how are you?
Hi there.
Yes.
I just want to make one statement.
Yeah.
Wrigley Brothers Bottom and Bailey Circus.
I've been
to many children. Closed now.
Right.
Peter.
148 years.
Beck and Abbey. It's old eggs.
Who? Peter. What?
Beck and Abbey used to sell eggs.
Yeah.
Particularly Wrigley.
Right.
Peter went after them. They no longer sell eggs.
Right.
So Peter is causing mayhem and chaos throughout this whole country. They are now hell bent to cause it on the carriages. Downtown.
Right. Now that's I agree because, Pat, I appreciate you calling in. However, that is, and as far as I know, I mean, I've spoke to the young lady, Nicole. She says this was not an animal rights protest whatsoever. WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250 if you would like to comment on the events of the day. And getting back to this incident that happened downtown with the horse carriage. Now, we got a couple of different things going on here. First of all, we have this climate that has been constructed by a lot of these animal rights groups and the people who are just completely content or determined to shut down the horse carriage industry here in Charleston. These folks, it's not the horse. If you go back and look at all of the, I say all, go back and look at the incidents that have happened with the horse carriages here in Charleston. There aren't that many. You had this incident the other day, which was basically an accident, in my opinion. You had a horse, I think it was Big John, slipped the other day, a couple of weeks ago, in downtown Charleston, slipped. Go Google horses tripping. It happens. Then you had Goldie a while back. Goldie fell downtown. Then you had a couple of other incidents where, I mean, a horse backed into a car. That happens. I mean, how many cars back into cars downtown? you had another incident where some bagpipers spooked a horse. But none of these has anything to do with the mistreatment of any of these animals, any of these horses with the Charleston carriage industry. These folks take very good care of these horses. I mean, go down and just look at their facilities. Look at where these horses are there. So my question to all these people that are saying, oh, you shouldn't do this to these horses. Let me ask you something. Have you ever ridden a horse? Well, couldn't that be considered abusive? Climbing on a horse's back? Have you ever seen a horse in a parade and cheered? Well, couldn't that be considered? Well, have you ever seen a horse, you know, doing whatever? Other than just look at where horses are actually in the most danger. And we had, I'm trying to think of, there was some horses up in, I think it was Virginia or something like that, where the people can't take care of these horses. So they just let them roam free. And what happens? They starve. They starve. And they are not fulfilling the purpose that they are bred for and have been for hundreds of years. This is what they do. Do accidents happen? Yeah. Do accidents happen with your kid at school? Yeah. That doesn't mean we get rid of the schools. They're doing what they, by everybody's comments that work in the industry, this is what the horses want to do. They want to go do this. But like I said, accidents absolutely happen. This incident downtown the other day had nothing to do with any of that.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 11 minutes past 8 o'clock on your Monday morning. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Well, the president is over in Israel this morning. His flight landed over there just a few minutes ago. And it was definitely a historic trip to the Middle East. But right now, we have to go to the phones and talk to someone who we haven't talked to in a while because, well, my gosh, he, you know, had twins, he had back surgery, and he's back. Brad Franco from News 2. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Buddy, what's going on?
How are you doing, man?
Better.
Good.
Better, I think. Yeah, a little bit better every day.
That's always good.
Yeah. But, you know, the doctor said it's going to take a long time for that nerve to heal, so.
So, you had a pinched nerve in your back or something?
No, I herniated a disc and squishing that nerve pretty good. So we did everything we could to avoid surgery, but I had some amazing care at St. Francis. Dr. Brian Cuddy did the surgery, but the nurses on that fifth floor over there, tremendous. I can't say enough about I was only there for a day, one night into the next day, and it was tremendous. So they deserve a lot of credit.
You will do anything to keep from changing a diaper.
Oh, you ain't kidding. I said, Dr. Cuddy, what else can't I do?
That's right.
I need the list.
That's right.
My wife needs the list of things I can't do.
That's right. All right. So what are you guys working on over at News 2 this morning?
So obviously that the Charleston County School District meeting tonight is going to be, I got a feeling it's going to be interesting.
Yes.
Because there's a protest planned, and the organizers from Ed First SC are saying that there will be hundreds of people there to protest this.
Mm-hmm.
And it all surrounds Jake Rambo, the former principal at James B. Edwards,
right,
and that explosive resignation letter where he pretty much let loose and says that, in no uncertain terms, he says that the superintendent, Dr. Jarita Postlewaite, he says that basically she told him this is his story to tell, and how he tells it kind of will dictate, how his career is going to go within the district.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see what comes out today, if anything.
Right.
This is South Carolina, and when these elected bodies are faced with criticism like this, we've seen all too often how they respond to that, and many times they just kind of clam up and you know, kind of join arms and join forces and try to go after the people who are raising the alarm.
Which at this point is the worst thing that they can do.
You would think. I mean, the teachers, basically, if for people who don't know, the teachers and principals are more and more saying publicly, because, you know, a lot of these folks won't speak up because their job is on the line.
Right.
If they speak up, they get fired or reassigned in some cases. They're saying that these scores, these test scores, are being used to dictate what goes on with these schools and determines the success or failure of the teachers and principals. So if these scores are bad, these teachers get put on these improvement plans, which, for lack of a better term, is probation.
Right.
And then, you know, if there's no improvement in those scores based on that, they can be fired.
Yeah.
And these opponents are saying that you can't use that as the only determining factor. The district is saying we're not using that as the only determining factor. It's just a piece of the puzzle.
It's just one of the factors from what we're hearing. But my thought is, well, if you can't use test scores, then what other quantitative method can you use to determine the success or failure of a school or a principal or a teacher?
The observations, and they want that to play more of a role in this. And listen, I think that is the actual story. But I think the subplot that is going to become the headline is what really happened to Jake Rambo?
Yeah.
What part of, I mean, was his letter fact? And that's what we need to be paying attention to. Was he really told to misrepresent things?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we'll have to see. But what do you, I mean, again, this meeting tonight, I think it's going to be raucous. Do you think? I certainly hope people, maintain their composure tonight.
Well, of course. I mean, I don't think we're going to have melees or anything.
Right,
I don't see any of that happening, but it's going to be loud.
Right.
Because I've talked to a number of parents of James B. Edwards students, and they are fit to be tied over this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting. Of course, we'll be there, and we'll have it for you tonight.
Yeah, what else you guys are working on?
Well, I want to find out what I saw your post about the woman in the dinosaur
costume. Yeah.
So what's the latest there?
I've known her for about for about the past 2 years, and I sent her a text last night. And the one question that I wanted to ask, and I'll read it to you. I said, "Tell me this: was this in any way an animal rights protest?" She says, "No, it was not." And everybody that I know that knows her says that, this is one of the meekest, sweetest, most pleasant young ladies you'll ever meet in your life. If she's lying to me, and I don't think she is, but for this to be a protest or something that she was doing out of spite or anything like that, from what I know, this would be completely out of character for her. I haven't seen
it. A lot of people were wondering that.
Yeah.
That was, you know, some kind of a quote-unquote inside job.
Right.
Stir things up again.
Yeah, not from what she is telling me, no.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So,
well,
I mean,
what
it just...
Was
it? Well, you know, she's a theater kid. I mean, she does stuff like this. You put on a costume and walk down the street. I think it may have been just caught in the wrong place, wrong time, and things worked out really badly. Now, not saying that she isn't responsible for what happened, but I don't think this was any malice or anything like that on her part.
Well, if that's true, that's certainly good to know, but also...
Yeah. I mean, we got hurt people on this thing, so...
Yeah, right.
But she did the grown-up thing.
Yes, she
turned herself in.
Yes, she did. She should get credit for that.
We'll see what happens. All right, buddy, you continue to rest that back, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Thanks, man.
All right, Brad Franco from News 2.
Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Well, it looks like President Trump's visit to the Middle East was history-making. Not because of anything he said. Not because of what Melania wore. Not because of any of the visits that he made or anything like that. It was the fact that the president left Saudi Arabia and went to Israel on a direct flight on Air Force One. Yep. The president's flight from Riyadh to Tel Aviv this morning was believed to be the first direct flight between Saudi Arabia and Israel. The first direct flight between Saudi Arabia and Israel. So this is the president that bridged the gap between Saudi Arabia and Israel. And don't think that, see, this was huge. This was huge, but you're not going to, let's go. This is the latest report from CNN on it. Yeah. That's what I thought. That's what I thought. Yeah. That's exactly what I thought. This was a huge symbolic moment. When you're talking about the peace process in the Middle East, this was gigantic. Nothing from the media. Nothing. Trump landed at Ben Gurion International Airport, is going to have a two-day visit in Israel and some of the Palestinian territories as part of his first trip abroad as the president. An Israeli airport authority spokesman said that he was not aware of any direct flights ever having landed in Israel from Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia, they don't recognize Israel, and Saudi Arabia and Israel don't have diplomatic relationships. There are no direct flights between the two countries, and the flights from either country bypass each other's airspace. So they go around each other, just pretend, oh, nothing to see here. So now neither company or country is in a position to dictate to Trump where to fly. His arrival, they say, reflects the warming relationship between them. Oh, this is so big. This is such a big story that I'll tell you how big it is. Nobody's covering it. Because it might just put Donald Trump in a good light. Oh, my goodness. Now, the only direct flights from Israel to an Arab states are the ones to Egypt and to Jordan. And, of course, those two have signed peace treaties with Israel. So, there you go. So, while he's there, he's expected to start trying to relaunch some peace talks between Israel and the Palestinians. He's going to meet separately with Netanyahu in Jerusalem and the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, going to be meeting in Bethlehem for this. So, again, big story. Big story on this, and the media completely silent. They want to keep talking about the firing of James Comey. They want to keep talking about that. And did you hear the latest on this memo that James Comey wrote to James Comey about a meeting that James Comey had with the president? Have you heard anything about this? The latest thing was, remember, nobody has seen this memo where he said that the president, he now feels like the president was trying to sway his opinion. This guy, I am so glad he's no longer FBI director. He is now saying that he feels, I feel like he was trying to influence me on this thing. Where before, he didn't. I mean, he testified before Congress that nobody had ever tried to influence him to stop an investigation. But now that he's fired, now he's coming out with this stuff. Anyway, this memo that everybody's been talking about, the source that read the memo to, I believe it was the Washington Post or the New York Times, the source says, well, he was just remembering what the memo said. He wasn't even reading from the memo. I assume it's a he or she, wasn't reading from the memo. He was just quoting it by memory. So you saw a memo back from February, and in May, you're going to quote it verbatim. Boy, this thing, it stinks to high heaven. But yet the media grabs it and runs with it like a football. And will not let go of this story. Because, and again, once you understand the end plan, the game plan for the Democrats, and that's to impeach Donald Trump, then you understand why they're doing this. Again, historic moment today, May 22nd, 2017, the first flight between Saudi Arabia and Israel occurred today. The person on that plane, President Donald Trump. 1250 WTMA, the TMA.
TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
It's 8:39, 21 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. It's that time of year. Spoleto, Piccolo Spoleto is upon us, and the Actors Theater of South Carolina is having a presentation of Frederick Douglass, No Turning Back, at Piccolo Spoleto, and we have a couple of the folks involved with that. First of all, we have the star of the show, Kyle Taylor. Kyle, how are you, buddy?
I'm well.
So,
well, thank you.
We also have Chris Weatherhead. She is the, no, you were the producer, writer.
Yeah, director.
Director.
Compiler of
all of
amazing
the
material that Frederick Douglass wrote. Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Now, this is a historic play about Frederick Douglass. And you were just telling me that Frederick Douglass just was a writer. He wrote so much stuff. How hard was it for you to compile or whittle down what he wrote to make this play without it being 8 hours long?
Well, the real good side of all of it was that he had an embarrassment of riches for me to choose from.
Yeah,
what a blessing that was.
Right.
But then I went, oh, my God, how do I get this all into something that's just maybe about an hour long?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you don't want to take people on a longer journey than they want to go. You want to leave them wanting more, and they will. This
sure.
is an amazing project. I'm very happy with it.
Now, Kyle, when did rehearsal start on this project?
Rehearsal started 2 months ago.
Okay, about a couple of months ago, and you've been doing this for quite a while now.
Now,
the scary thing, you're an actor. And you, last I saw you was in a movie that Chris did, John Lawrence War, and you're in there with a cast. Okay. Not this time.
No.
It's you in the spotlight and have at it, right?
It's me and God.
Well, and I've told him, I said, during rehearsal, I've seen like Frederick Douglass right there with him. It's like they're coalescing before my eyes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Now, Kyle, what does it mean to you to be playing Frederick Douglass in Frederick Douglass, No Turning Back?
Well, it's an honor to play such a heroic and historic figure.
Right.
He's a unifier.
Yeah.
And I think that it's so prevalent that right now in this world that we need to unify the people.
Yeah.
And I think that he was unifying. So it's so today.
Right, yeah. So it's a historical play, but it's got a lot of relevance.
What a lot of us are doing today.
Very accessible for our audiences. That's part of how we constructed it too, because he's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he challenges your brain every 2 seconds, but then he's inspiring you. And I think people will come in thinking, oh, this is this former slave guy. And I think, you know, they think they know him, but when they leave, they're going to realize it's all about us right now.
Exactly.
Trying to make our world a better place. Oh, it's very exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you created the role of, like we said, the role of Samuel in the John Lawrence Ward. That was a great film. We got to see the preview of that. Got rave reviews for your portrayal of Dr. Martin Luther King in The Mountaintop for Pure Theater. You were Crown in Porgy and Bess.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I didn't get a chance to see that. They were sold out. I was trying to get tickets. I was calling everybody to get tickets to
that
play.
Well, let's hope Frederick Douglass is sold out, too.
Absolutely. Just save me a couple of seats. But it's going to be running May 30th, June 3rd, and the 8th at 7:30. June 11th is going to be a matinee, 3 o'clock.
Yeah, we have a Sunday matinee.
Yeah, and it's going to be at the Circular Congregation Church right there at 150 Meeting Street. And you can get tickets online at www.piccolospoleto.com, right?
Or people can go and at 95 Calhoun Street, they can go to the box office there, and then they don't have to pay the online kind of extra fees.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah, they could also come and buy tickets 1/2 hour before.
Mm-hmm.
We're very blessed with a large venue.
Right.
So they should be able to get tickets at any of those four performances by just lining up about 1/2 hour before the show.
Any surprises for you, Kyle, when you're reading this the script for this play? Did you go, oh, wow? Was there an oh, wow moment in this play for you?
Yes, I was surprised that he was, after going through all of what he's gone through, still a unifier.
Yeah. You would have thought he would have been bitter.
Bitter.
You would have thought he would have been a divisive figure.
Most definitely.
But not. He raised above. Right. That's awesome. That is awesome. And what about you, Chris? When you were writing this thing, was there an aha moment for you?
All the time. I kept thinking, in fact, we had discussions about this after everything that had happened to him, being so horribly abused
right.
in every way possible, emotionally, physically, spiritually, that when he found God, he just hooked on and he was absolutely there mm-hmm. for the whole ride. I mean,
right.
he never, ever let go. And I think that's what allowed him. You know, he could have gone to England. He was there for like 22 months. He could have never come back.
Right, yeah.
He was treated incredibly well there, but he felt that his goal in life was to serve God, and he came back to America and suffered a great deal. He risked his life a lot. People talk about Rosa Parks, but I want to tell you, Frederick Douglass was the first one right on the front lines in a way that... Well, we don't want to ruin the play
right,
for
yeah.
people, but it's...
We want folks to get tickets and get out there and check it out.
It's a wild ride, but yeah. it ends up being one that takes you to a really great place.
Well, I am certainly looking forward to that. Again, you can get tickets online, or you can get up at 95 Calhoun Street. Again, those dates are May 30th, June 3rd, June 8th, and a June 11th, 3 o'clock matinee. And of course... You invite, this is a show for all ages?
I would say probably 10 years and up.
Okay. All right, so get out there and check it out. Frederick Douglass, No Turning Back, coming to the Circular Congregational Church for Piccolo Spoleto. And Chris and Kyle, we appreciate you being on the program today.
Thanks,
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
Thank you. WTMA.
It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It is 8:52, 8 minutes until 9 o'clock at the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Gary is out in Mount Pleasant. Gary, how are you this morning?
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, sir. Doing good. What's up, buddy?
Yeah. Great interview. Great interview with those two people.
Thank you. It's going to be a great play. Frederick Douglass,
really?
No Turning Back, coming to Piccolo Spoleto.
American history is such a treasure trove of things that they could do as far as plays. And, I mean, it's just, I love American history.
So. Yeah, it's fantastic.
What I'm calling about, though, is I see that they passed the gas tax.
Right.
And talk radio and print newspapers need to hold these people's feet to the fire and make sure that it is spent on our roads
mm-hmm.
and thoroughways. I mean, because they will waste this money. As sure as I'm sitting in this car, Hugh Leverman will get a hold of it and do some kind of boondoggle with it. I mean, I'm telling you, we need to hold their feet to the fire.
I want them to set up some sort of a website, an actual website, and say, listen, these are the road construction mm-hmm. projects mm-hmm. that this tax, I mean, you see it all the time, and you see your tax dollars at work, your 1 cent. I want to see those things. Don't waste the money on the signs.
That's right.
I don't want road signs that cost $200 a peach being put up with this money. Just a website's real easy to do. Just let us know what the heck you're doing with this money.
Or some memorial sign for a guy that's not even dead.
Yeah. No, let's just name a terminal after the fella.
That's like going out and picking out your casket 30 years before you die.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Gary,
and the other thing that I wanted to say is the first road they need to fix is 526, because I am kind of the bump, 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 bump.
Well, none of this is going to 526 as far as the extension of it. Gary, I appreciate you calling in. However... You thought it was dead. Maybe not. There are some folks in... I know it just seems like it's Groundhog Day all over again, where, you know, we're talking about 526, but there are some people that are talking about re-initiating, we will say, the construction to finish 526. That's... You're going to be hearing a lot more of that in the near future. All right, I'm reading this from the Post and Courier. It says, tucked inside the 23 pages of legislation that will raise South Carolina's gas tax on July 1st to help pay for road repairs is a property tax cut for manufacturers. But they say its impact is going to be limited. That's because most manufacturers don't pay the 10.5% assessment rate on industrial property that's mandated by the state's constitution. Well, instead, they pay what is known as a phylot. Yeah, a fee in lieu of taxes. And that essentially reduces the assessment to a 6% rate. And you see folks like Boeing, which makes the 787 there in North Charleston, they get a reduction to 4% rate. And that same rate applies. So basically, they're paying the same property taxes that a homeowner is paying for your residence. Now, South Carolina's fee in lieu legislation was passed about 20 years ago, and counties have used it so often as an incentive to lure tax-averse manufacturers and other employers that it can be difficult to find an industry that pays property taxes the old-fashioned way. But a few still exist, they say, and they're the ones that are targeted by the gas law. So the gas legislation will exempt 19.05% of the value of manufacturing property for tax purposes, with the exemption implemented in two equal installments in tax years 2019 and 2020. Once fully implemented, the exemption will reduce property tax bills by about $48.7 million statewide. So that's $48.7 million that we're not getting in property taxes here. To put that in perspective, Boeing pays an average of $14 million a year under its 30-year fee in lieu agreement with Charleston County. So, but now they're talking about taking. So I'm really wondering, because you're talking about $48.7 million that is going to be coming out of the state coffers. So they're expected to raise, what did they say, between $500 and $600 million to fix our roads. And of that, it's all kinds of stuff. So, and I can't remember if I got to go back and look at this bill. If they did, they do the crazy. I know you get the you get a tax break or a tax refund for scheduled maintenance on your car, things like tires and front end alignments and things like that. But did they pass that whole thing where you get the rebate? I think that was in there, where you save your receipts and you, in effect, get $1.50 back for every dollar that you spend in the gas tax. Look, I don't know how they're going to figure that out. Good luck. Good luck. I don't know anybody that's going to be walking around with a pocket full of receipts for their gas purchases. So we'll find out. Anyway, that joy is coming July the 1st. We'll be able to have celebrate our Independence Day with more taxes here in South Carolina. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Did you see the video? This is horrifying. Did you see the video? I think it was, let me just double check here. Oh my gosh, because it was absolutely horrible. This young girl was at a pier, and I think it was in the Northwest, and they were feeding sea lions when this happened.
He's like, I'm bigger than you.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh, right.
Did you see it? So they were feeding this.
Are you all right? Are you all right? You're not injured? You're good? Okay.
So they're feeding this sea lion from a pier when all of a sudden it jumps out of the water and grabs this young girl by her shirt or whatever she's wearing there and yanks her in the water. Marine mammal expert said the sea lion might have thought that the girl's dress was food. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen what a sea lion does to a penguin, but they have razor-sharp teeth and very powerful jaws, and they can do a lot of damage. This girl is very, very lucky that he only grabbed her dress. Had he gotten skin, she would be in a, it would have been a bad situation. Bad situation. Scary, scary video as this sea lion just jumps out of the water and grabs it. I mean, you know how quick it was? Bam. Just like that. Just like that. It happens so quick. How scary.